Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to know that, amen, that we have God's word on record. We know the in the beginning was revealed unto Moses. In the beginning, God. Is a divine testimony, and there was only one witness on the stand, and that was God Himself. So there's nothing like the Word of God. So what a dark day we're living in. We want you to know that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all. As Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. We thank God for that. So you've got to be saved. You've got to make the rapture. Amen. What judgment is going to come on this world? It's horrible that you don't even want to be here to witness it. You read in the book of the Revelation. So my food for thought today would be one verse of scripture, and that is found in Luke 17. And 32, and it's three words. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. So thank God for all of our Blog Talk listeners, all of our Twitter listeners and followers, and also all our Blog Talk listeners. So here we are. We want to declare the word of the Lord. Scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon. Good evening, and to all, and praise the Lord to the people of God. Amen. We thank God that we're here just another time. Amen. To declare the word of God.
That's what we all need.
Amen.
The word liveth and abideth forever.
So we're grateful to be able to do that. Amen. We know we are talking about these last 7 weeks, the mystery of the church, knowing that a mystery is a hidden truth. And so there's another mystery, too, that folks are not talking about, and that is the mystery of iniquity. And so you can find that in the scriptures in 2 Thessalonians, talking about the man of sin. So that is what we're talking about, that you've got to get out of here. So here, this here, before we get into our lesson, 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means,
That day shall not come except there come a falling away for first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. This is the question. Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Thessalonica. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, or he who now hindereth, will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And that's where I wanted to zero in on. So we got to have a love for the truth. That's why Jesus says, Lord's Prayer in St. John 17:17, when he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So there's a lot going on. And I might say this, should you have been listening to the news, so that some ungodly things are happening and states are passing laws, just like what we were talking about. We're talking about marriage and we're talking about civil unions, these kind of things. And so that's why I made referral in Luke to remember Lot's wife. So what I want to say, if that is, God's true science and God's word are in perfect harmony. Let me repeat, true science and God's word are in perfect harmony. Because people are trying to justify things, going back saying how people were born. No, behold, we were shaping in iniquity and in sin that our mother conceived us, all of us. So you come forth speaking lies, one scripture says. So we were sinners. If you have been born again, you were a sinner. That's the whole point of being born again. And as we went through the book of Romans, Apostle Paul wrote in the 7th chapter, he says, I know in me, that is, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And James said, the spirit in us lusteth to envy. So that's why we have to be regenerated. That's why we have to be born again, our spirit. That's why he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Jesus told Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of St. John, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Your spirit is what's born again. He said, marvel not that I say. Don't wonder what I'm saying. Ye must be born again. And that's why I say, whoever you are that are listening to me, you got to be saved. You got to get out of here. You don't want to miss the rapture. There's going to come such evil as enough going on right now. When that war in heaven and those angels are cast out, which are the demonic angels that's fighting against Michael and his angels, when they get cast out, they coming down, they're getting in animals and getting in people, it's going to be a horrible place. When the devil and all the little devils are on the loose. We know the devil himself, who is going to incarnate a man. That's the big D. The devil himself is going to incarnate a man who is going to be the son of perdition, what I just read in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, who is the Antichrist. And he's going to fool the Jews first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's going to happen immediately after the rapture of the church, when going to the tribulation period. And the second half is Jacob's trouble. It's going to be such destruction like never before. The amount of slaughter, Armageddon, the amount of slaughter. It's going to be so much bloodshed, 200 miles long, up to the horse's bridle. You know how tall a horse head is. That's going to be horrible. because God is coming out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sin that they have committed. And they don't believe in him. And so, like I said, I read the scripture. Folks don't believe, have love for the truth that they might be saved. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So that's the reason why that we're here. The commission, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That name is Jesus. The name is in the singular. He didn't say repeat after me, but he told them what to do. Luke, the 24th chapter, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is the name of Jesus. So he went, and Mark, the 15th chapter, 16 and 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is, believe what? The gospel. And is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up deadly things. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we know that it's in the name of Jesus where the secret of the power is. So that brings us to, that's just a little food for thought. So we want to get back in to our lesson, what we've been talking about, the mystery of the church. So this church at Ephesus, that the Apostle Paul had started this church. He wrote this letter, one of his Pauline epistles, or one of his prison epistles that he wrote to the church, to the believers, letting them know their position in Christ Jesus, who is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. He is God incarnate, God in a human body. That's why we read in our intro, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John, the St. John, the first chapter, and St. John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh. No, he didn't become flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. This is John, the Revelator, writing, the one who wrote St. John, the one who wrote the first, second, and third epistle of John, and also he is the same writer that wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, that dreaded book that people are scared to get in and people are afraid to deal with. And God didn't put the book of Revelation in the Bible for us to be afraid of. He's talking about beasts and all things that he's talking about. He's talking about human spirits is what he's talking about, and he's talking about waters, the whore that sit upon many waters in the 17th chapter of Revelation. You read in the book of Revelation, he makes it plain what he's talking about. The waters are peoples. So there's nothing to be afraid of. You walk right and you get yourself right, you don't have to worry about all these woes and all these judgments are going to be poured out on the earth. Because after the book of after the fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is looking back on the earth. The church is in heaven. So these things are going to shortly come to pass. And this is what he said. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. So he says, he that testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. So this is why James said that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanish away. So we are body, soul, and spirit. Everybody have a soul. He said all souls are mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Like I say, that word E-T-H. So he that sinneth has not known God, neither don't know him, and neither you don't know him. If you keep on sinning, is what he's saying. E-T-H, you don't keep practicing sin. He's made provisions. But if you fall, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's not going to be no sinners in heaven, but you've got to be born again. And the tribulation saints are not going to be in the throne. They're going to be before the throne or before the sea of glass. Those tribulation saints are going to have to get their head chopped off. So you want to be saved now. You want to be born again. Like I said, go to an apostolic church. Have the preacher to baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost if you repent. That was the message that Jesus gave the keys to Peter, and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and the promise is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So if you repent and be baptized, he promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you will receive the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives you to utter, what to utter, Acts 2 and 4, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. So thank God. You got to have what some dub as the Pentecostal experience. You got to have an apostolic experience. That is to be water baptized in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, the devil don't want you to know about that truth, being born again. Not going around saying I'm Baptist, saying I'm Catholic, saying I'm Muslim and all that. That doesn't mean nothing. There's only one God. Amen. There's not a bunch of different religions. Religion is what binds somebody to a cause. But the Bible said that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. And there's always been. There's only one that I know of that I've ever, last time I checked, that got up from the dead, said, "Behold, I am he that liveth and that liveth," E-T-H, "and was dead." And he said, "Look at me. I'm alive. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." So he got the words of eternal life. That's what Peter said to Jesus. He says, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." So I can tell you, and nobody else got the words of eternal life. Some of that other stuff, some of these other gods, make-believe, and these people saying the honorable so-and-so teaches this and that. No, you ain't honorable. You're living like a dog. You're not honorable. I don't care who you are. All these end-time folks that saying they're the last one left and all that is a lie. That's how Elijah felt, that he was the last one left. That is a lie. God always has a witness. And so he's never left himself without witness. So he is the witness. Amen. He is the first begotten of the dead, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the amen. Amen. The faithful witness. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. He is the preacher. Amen. He preached and he taught, and he's committed it unto men. So that's why we're coming. We thank God for the medium of blog, talk, radio, and all the other mediums that we have, Skype and all. And so we can even see, like I said before, in times past, some of our bishops used to wonder, how is the whole world going to see the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, in the city of Jerusalem when they're going to preach the everlasting gospel in that day? And they're going to kill them, and their dead bodies are going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. And after 3 days, the spirit of life from God is going to come in them. And all the world who sees them, fear is going to fall on them. They're going to see them with over the internet because of the satellite TV, because of your devices that you have in your hand, your mobile devices, be it iPad, be it iPhone, be it BlackBerry, be it Android, whatever you have, your mobile device, you can see what's going on all over the world. You can tune in. So you don't want to be here. You want to be gone. Amen. So that just proves, even instant messaging, that the word of God is true. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. God has already got a church asleep in the earth. Those that have been born again, baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost, that are dead in Christ, that are in their graves, they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. So the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain. Apostle Paul wrote this letter. He thought the coming of the Lord was even that near in the day that he wrote it. And so we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Who? The previous ones that I talked about, the dead in Christ. Ain't no graves got to open up. God's going to take them out. That's a mystery. Amen. Take them out, because he's coming back for redeem our soul. And what he meant when he says, thou shalt not leave thy soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He's talking about the grave when he's talking about hell. So we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So that's so very important, to know what the word of God is saying. Not buying a blessing and all this foolishness that people are coming up with now and telling people your season and this is your time and all that. No, it's your time, all right. You need to be born again so you can get out of here. I mean, whatever God's given you, amen. You can get whatever you want if you've got the money to get it. And if God turns hearts, God can bless people with money. God not only has the money, nor the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. King's heart is in God's hand. God can turn somebody's heart to bless you with millions. They don't even know why they're doing it, because he's God. He's God and there's none like him. So, but anyway, he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you know you need have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That's what he said. Now, the thief, he's not going to let you know when he's coming, that you're not going to suffer your house to be broken up. So he's coming as a thief. So he says, when they shall say peace and safety, then certain destruction. So that's one of the signs of the end times. He said you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. So everybody's vaunting themselves. Yeah, you know, we're going to do this or don't do that. United Nations, don't do this, don't do that. Don't bother them, don't bother that. So God is lining all this up. And then this new world order is setting itself up. Whether you believe it or not, God's word is going to be fulfilled. So you be left behind, you're going to have to get a mark. You can't buy or sell, save, or that word means accept. You receive the mark. And his number is the number of a man. And that's, he goes on to say, his number is 666. And that's Revelation 13 and 18. You don't want to be here. I mean, the 17th verse, well, go up a little more, a little farther. And he exercised all power, the first beast before him, the cause of the earth, and them that dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. How that sound? A deadly wound being healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. He caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. That's your eye, the forehead. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or accept, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So it don't matter. These folks going around bragging now, just like I've said in previous days and weeks about Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You'll hate the one and cleave to the other. You'll hold to the one and despise the other. And he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. And some people think, so you got to have $1 billion to be president. It won't matter in that day how much money you say. So what are we saying right here? And he calls it this beast, this devil incarnate, and he calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man buy or sell, accept or save, he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man, and his number is 666. Doesn't necessarily have to be just like that, but we know that we have a number that we've got way back when we were born. And when I was born, you didn't have to have that now. I think they put it on your social security, or on your birth certificate, and that is your social security card. So even back when I was a youngster, and I was born in the 50s, they had a show that used to come on called Secret Agent Man. Way back then, it says Secret Agent Man. It says giving you a number and taking away your name. So we can see it coming to fruition even now that our number, our name is not going to be our name. And that day, you want to be left here, but you're going to have a number. And you're going to have to do what he says, or you're not going to eat. You're not going to buy or sell, except you take the mark. So we thank God for that. So that's just a little food for thought before we get into our lesson. We're going to have Elder David Clifton, who is also my co-host, to come with his food of thought. So that's something for you all to think about. You don't want to be here. You've got to be saved. We try to. That's why Apostle Paul wrote, and we went through 2 Corinthians. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So if by any means, he said, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We know that's in the book of Philippians. We ain't got there. It don't matter. You need to get out of here. You don't want to be left here. That's why you got to be born again. Elder Clifton.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Elder. Hear you speaking here, and consequently, you are in the same vein as tonight's Bible study, dealing with, amen, the end times and getting yourself and preparing yourself, amen, to be ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
And an analogy that I like to use on my job when I talk to individuals is I'll say to him, here one of our main interstates here in Michigan is 94.
Yeah.
94 eastbound and westbound. And I asked those fellas, I say, if you know, amen, that the Michigan State Police have a speed trap set up on 94 eastbound and you are heading in that direction, while you are traveling, you would prepare yourself to do the speed limit so you don't fall victim to that speed trap.
Yeah.
And I will call anyone that knows that speed trap is there and decides to do 90 through there, I will call them a fool.
Yes.
Because you know they're there.
Yes.
I would translate the same over to a spiritual aspect, knowing that the Lord is soon to return.
Yes.
The rapture of the church is going to happen. Knowing this, I need to prepare myself accordingly so that I, amen, can make the rapture. The consequences of that, the consequences of me not giving my life over to the Lord is hell.
Yeah.
Fire and brimstone, which mm-hmm. lasts forever and ever.
Yeah.
And I would say that if anyone knows, now this is not to the atheist, the unbeliever, but if there's anyone out there that believes in God, that they believe that Jesus Christ came to save them, and they have an understanding of the Bible, and they don't prepare themselves to make it to heaven, I would say that you would be a fool.
Yeah.
Only a crazy person would choose, amen, to go to hell. So this is not to beat anyone upside the head, but it's just one of those red alerts, if you will.
Yeah.
If you look at the state of the world, we have to know and we have to understand that the time is soon to come. The Lord is going to rapture the church. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's sooner then later. I would
yeah.
have to believe that,
mm-hmm.
and I would say to you all, prepare yourselves,
mm-hmm.
do the right thing, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you have to continue in the apostles' doctrine, that doctrine that they received from Jesus Christ. You have to live a holy lifestyle. It's not about being a good person according to the world standards, but it's about being a good person according to God's standards.
Yes.
Get yourself in a position to get out of here. You don't want to be left behind, amen.
Yes.
You don't want to be here for that name, that number, or that marker I heard you talking about.
Yes.
And what I'm seeing, amen, Elder, in the media is they are preparing people, in my opinion, to receive this mark. He's not going to make you take it. You are going to have a choice to take that mark. If you look at the number of abductions for children, for instance, that's going on nowadays in the land, you turn around and all these kids are coming up missing.
Yeah.
Once they're gone, you know, they put out an Amber Alert, but you don't know where your child is, and at the end of the day, most of the time, they come up missing.
Yeah.
How brilliant would it be if someone were to come up with a device and they would tell you, if you take this chip, amen, and put this chip in your child's arm, we can track them no matter where they are in the world.
Yes.
Parents would feel safe and secure knowing that if something were to happen to my child, they can have this chip and I can find my child immediately. This would be a disguise, if you will, for setting your children up to receive this mark. Again,
yes.
The Bible does not say that the Antichrist is going to make you. It says those that receive, you're going to receive it. You're going to take it.
Yes.
If we see these things, we have to understand that this is a preparation. When things are, or when agendas are being pushed upon a mass number of people, it's subtle. Little by little, here little, there little, and before you know it, you have accepted or adopted, this new thing that's coming out. So we have to open our eyes, not only spiritually, but naturally, and look around and see the state of the world and know that God is soon to come. Amen, Elder?
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, we thank God for that. So we're trying to let people know you got to get ready to get out of here. So just like I said earlier, three words, remember Lot's wife.
Yes.
There was a lot happened before that, the bringing that up. So now people, and also made mention earlier that, because they're talking about genetics and all this stuff, trying to act like people are born, you know, with certain tendencies. Yeah, you're born lying and sin in your members.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you're doing, you're a sinner is what you're born. But also we know, as studying the Word of God, and true science and God's Word is in perfect harmony. So a lot of this so-called stuff is science, as Paul wrote to Timothy, falsely science, so-called, it's not true science.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to make excuses. Yeah, he was born that way. No, he wasn't. You're not born that way. It's a choice
to
do those things.
Amen.
So we thank God for his word on today. Our call-in number is 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in, you have a question or a comment, 646-716-6566. And also you can email us, should you desire, truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. So we thank God. We're pretty much almost through with the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We want to kind of save a little bit for next week. We're going to have our historian with us, I think, next week, and then the week after, the 2 weeks after that.
Amen.
So we want to, he can recap should he desire to do so. But yeah, so, but last week we know we were talking about the, I think we did, we got down to the 25th.
Yeah, we stopped at verse number 25.
Yeah, okay, yes, yeah, so last week. So we're kind of still the same thing this week, our followers, children, a light, and about being awake and about being wise. So just like he said, about being wise and understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the will of the Lord is for you to be saved. That's you got to make the choice to get out of here.
Yes.
Just like Edward, we've been trying to say earlier, you want to get out of here. So just like our pastor preached on this past Sunday, like I said, people are afraid or they're scared of the book of the Revelation. You shouldn't be. You get out of here, you don't have to worry about that. You should be afraid where it says there was a great white throne and all of those who stood before it. And so they were judged out of the things that were written in the books when the books were open.
Mm-hmm.
And their name wasn't found in the book of life. They were cast into the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And like I say, I used to tell when I did prison ministry, people say, hell yeah, or hell yes. I say, you should be saying no to hell.
Yeah, man.
Matthew 25 and 41, hell was created for the devil and his angels. So that is our message. We're trying to let you know you need to get yourself right with God.
Yeah.
Like they used to sing a song, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God and he will show you how. Down at the cross where he shed his blood. Get right with God. Get right with God. So we've been telling you as time goes on in every broadcast, we make an injection about how you need the water baptism in the name of Jesus. Firstly, you got to repent.
Yes.
And then the promise, you repent and be baptized, the message that the Apostle Peter preached, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. You will receive the Holy Ghost just like they did in Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to utter.
Amen.
And so that is the born-again experience, being born of water and the Spirit, your spirit being born again. So we're going to just kind of take our time with the time that we got left because we want to, like I say, let our historian like do a recap the two more weeks out of this month before it's over.
Amen, amen. I just would like to say that we just experienced, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that,
yes,
Acts 2:38, 2:39 being fulfilled,
yes,
as a man was saved according to the scriptures then.
Yes.
We have to understand that there is one way.
Mm-hmm.
We as apostolic, sometimes people frown upon us because we are determined to let people know that there is only one way. The world will have you to think that there are many roads to heaven. There's many ways to get there, and it don't matter how you get there as long as you get there. Well, that is man's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That is not so with God. If you look at Noah and the building of the ark, that was a type and shadow of salvation coming into the body of Christ, the ark being that body of Christ, and there was one door. There was one way to get into that ark. The same applies to the body of Christ. I would challenge anyone that is listening that may not agree with that, I would challenge you to go through the scriptures, beginning in the book of Acts, because there is no salvation for the Gentiles, amen, before the book of Acts. The covenant changed in the book of Acts. God had shed his blood at that point in time, and access to the body of Christ was changed then. Go and read through the book of Acts and find me instances where someone had repented, they were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Then I want you to go and find where someone said a sinner's prayer. You're not going to find it. It's not in the book. And if it's not in the book, it's not valid. It does not apply. These are things that man have made up, an easy way out, if you will. They don't want to do it according to God's way. It's not about tradition. It is about the Word of God. So that is why you will hear us time and time again reiterate being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, all that, of course, coming after a man has repented.
Yeah.
You know, you have to deal with godly sorrow and the sorrow of
the
world.
Yeah.
You know, if an individual goes, amen, maybe into a bank and robs the bank and gets away with, $100,000, that man's not going to be sad. He's not going to have any worldly sorrow unless he's caught.
Yeah.
He may feel bad if he's caught, but as long as he gets away with it, he's all right. But that is worldly sorrow.
Yeah.
Godly sorrow is when you come, amen, into the knowledge of God and his love, and you understand the relationship he wants to have with you, and you realize that you are truly a sinner and you need God, who will show forth a godly sorrow. And godly sorrow will cause a person to want to repent. Godly sorrow will cause a person not to want to sin anymore, and will cause them to want, amen, to turn
to God.
To please God.
Yes.
So you have to understand the difference between the two. Having a relationship with God, amen, as we're dealing with here in the fifth chapter of Ephesians,
yes,
it's very special. And the only way that Paul saw fit, amen, to correlate that was to show the relationship between a man and his wife.
Yes.
and Christ
and
the church.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get an understanding, I think this is twofold. Once you get an understanding of how Christ loves you as a child of God, it will cause a man to want to love his wife even more. And even so, once you have been married, yourself being married, was it 30-plus years?
39 years.
39 years. Once you have that bond with your wife, you've had that bond, it teaches you, amen, how to be a good companion
right.
to your spouse, and that will translate over to how faithful a person will want to be with Christ. You
right.
understand how you need each other, as we see in that song, I Need You to Survive.
Right.
So I think that Paul did an excellent job when he did this correlation in the fifth chapter.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, I was thinking of something. Yeah, that one thing about it, you cannot be a selfish person and want to be married, or a stingy person, because it don't work. It's not going to work. It's give and take.
Yes.
You know, it's not you no more, but it's us. Just like they say in the wedding ceremony, you're not walking down the road as one, you know, by yourself no more, but you're both are going together as one.
Yes.
So you're both together. So you can't be stingy. So even like when your children are growing up, the mother or the wife, they should come first, according to the scriptures. But a mother, she's going to put her children first.
Mm-hmm.
So the last person in the house that gets something should be the man.
we have it backwards. We think the man is supposed to get everything.
Exactly.
First.
No, you can't be stingy and you can't be selfish to be married, let alone have children.
Yes.
Because you really last. You're in the back of the line.
And the same thing applies to Christ.
Yes.
You have to be have the mindset that you are going to walk together
yes.
with Christ. You need him if you want to live a saved life.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to do things your own way and you want to lead God and have God following you and watching over you, I don't want God following me.
No.
I want him leading me. That way I won't have to worry about protection because he's going to lead me in the right direction.
Yes.
So we have to understand, we have to learn how to walk with God. And that's something, Elder, that I think may be missing nowadays is we'll be so quick to get someone in and get them saved,
mm-hmm.
But then we don't teach them how to walk with God.
Yes.
And that's where the battle starts after a person is saved.
Yes.
That's when, you know, I like to say the devil has found out that he has lost another soul, and he's angry. So
yes.
he's going to throw everything he can at you to try to get you to jump out of, amen, the hand of Christ. So we have to learn how to walk with God. It's not just about coming in church and, oh, I'm going to get baptized today. Okay, well, that's good that you're
yeah.
going to get baptized today. And God will bless you to receive the Holy Ghost. That's good. Now, you can't go back out in the world and think, okay, I'm saved now. I can do whatever I want. I've been sealed. I'm going to heaven now. Now comes the test. Now
yeah.
you have to begin to walk with God, and that is on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And it's not to say, you will never hear us over here saying that anyone is perfect and we don't make mistakes. Saints will make mistakes.
Yeah.
But the key is to get up, to repent. If it was bad enough, you have to show the fruits of repentance, but you have to get up, you repent, you ask God for forgiveness, and you start back right where you left off.
Yeah.
The Bible deals with committing a sin, and he that sinneth,
mm-hmm.
or continuing sin. A saint is no longer a saint if they are living in or continually committing sin. So again,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand that this is an everyday walk, and I've come to find out with my walk with God that if you begin to dedicate yourself and give time to God as you should give time to your wife, your relationship
mm-hmm.
will get better.
Yeah.
How odd would it be for you to be sitting at the dinner table with your wife and not speaking? You go
right.
crazy. You out at a restaurant
right.
having a romantic dinner, and y'all just eating. You're not talking to each other.
Right.
You can tell by looking at couples that they're strained
mm-hmm.
in their marriage by their interaction.
Mm-hmm.
The same will apply to someone that is calling themselves a Christian. If you just sit back and watch their life, you can see sometimes how close they are with God by the
right.
way they're acting, by the
mm-hmm.
things that they do. They're doing things that are not seemly, or they're doing things that should not be named amongst us that
right.
are called Christians. So it's all about the walk after one is get saved. We don't want to hit, just go out and repent and get baptized
right.
in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's not the end of the story.
No.
And the book of Acts said that they continued in the apostles' doctrine.
In fellowship, breaking the bread, and in prayer.
Yeah. It's a continual.
Yes. So not only that, I remember when I was first started at General Motors. I got saved in 76, and I started at GM in 77. So I remember this young man I wrote that went to one of our sister churches. And so he found out he was a preacher. He said, "I just go where the Spirit leads me." Well, Spirit ain't leading you to run all over the place. Spirit is leading you to sit down and be taught.
Yes.
You know, we learned that. You can't just be running all over the place. That's what's wrong right now. All these people, us four and no more, you know, that's why it's a mess and confusion out there right now. All of these so-called religions is because folks didn't get sit down and be taught.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't no big party and repeat the creed and all this and the music. They being entertained, you know, but you got to believe what the Word of God says. So you're not going to be tricked. You got the word hid in your heart. You won't be tricked. So that's the problem nowadays. Folks are just looking to be entertained. They don't have the word in their heart, and they're being numbers is not God,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily. Because and then not only that, Jesus tried to make that plain to them. They wouldn't listen. The temple, and he let them know about the temple. He destroyed his temple in 3 days. I'll raise it again. They thought he was talking about that temple.
Mm-hmm.
Took 46 years to build. No, he was talking about the temple of his body.
Yes.
And Apostle Paul also wrote the same thing as we had read through the book, first and second book of the Corinthians, and he let them know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which temple ye are. So you got to take care of your temple,
yes.
which is the Holy Ghost, you know, your temple, the Holy Ghost in your temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So that's what he's coming back for, a church without spot or wrinkle, as we're going to get to here, not the building.
Amen.
Don't matter.
Amen.
Like I said, you don't want to be sitting in your mansion and the Lord make the shout, take the church out of here, and you still be sitting there.
Amen.
You want to be gone.
Amen.
Whoa, to the inhabitants of the earth. When that Antichrist set up on the scene.
I heard the analogy spoken of, you know, a lot of people, you know, speaking of drinking or smoking or cursing, things of that such. You know, they do it, and it was brought to my attention that someone asked them the question, well, do you go to church? And they say, well, you know, maybe sometimes I go to church. Well, would you drink your beer inside the church? And they say, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. Well, would you smoke a cigarette inside the church? Oh, no, I'm not crazy, I wouldn't do that. Would you be cussing the way you be cussing inside the church? Oh, no, I'm not crazy, I got respect for God, I wouldn't do that in God's house. Well, you have to understand that once you are a saint, your
yeah.
body has become
the house.
Mm-hmm. So we cannot be doing those things inside the house if you are indeed a
mm-hmm.
part of the body of Christ. People nowadays, they give so much respect to the building, to
mm-hmm.
the brick and the mortar,
right?
And it's you. You
mm-hmm.
are the temple of the living
Holy Ghost.
So
that's right.
We have to have that understanding, amen. It's a lot of traditions. It's a lot of opinions passed down, and people have gotten away from what the Word of God has to say. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what we want to do here is I think we have
enough
time
that we got left. Yeah,
a little bit of time. We'll get back into the fifth chapter, amen, of Ephesians, and we left off at verse number 25, where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Here's the key verse.
Yes.
"This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Yes.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband."
Yes. And I just want to say, y'all know what's going on in the news. all this stuff. These states want to pass laws. They knocked down the ban on civil unions or gay rights or
yeah.
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we just looked here not even 2 minutes ago. He said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is a great mystery. You can't be joined unto another man. If you're a man, if you're a woman, you can't be joined unto another woman. So just like we said, hypothetically, if you was to go way back when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, or just say he didn't destroy it, and everybody was turned over, like some cities were turned over into lasciviousness, as we read in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So just think, if another man and woman, man and woman never got together no more, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
It was just a bunch of same-sex marriages or civil unions,
amen,
they so-call them, were to occur, and nobody else got married no more, or nobody else desired the opposite sex, then we wouldn't be here.
That's right. And with that, Elder, you have to understand and you have to see that it is indeed the devil
exactly
that is behind the homosexual and a gay movement.
Right, and they're not. And so just like somebody said, one of our bishops, late bishop said, he used the term homosexual, male and female, because the devil is a liar, and I won't take it back. So we see how he smoothed it over to say that they're gay. They're not gay.
Mm-hmm.
Gay means to be happy.
Amen. By definition.
Exactly, by definition. Like you say, two things that don't mean, somebody came out with a whole list of stuff that we say don't mean what they say. But two of them I never forgot, and that is, a peanut is not a nut, it's a bean. And a homosexual is not a gay, it's a pervert. So that Bible talks about perverting the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
So they are not gays. There's no such thing as a gay in the Bible as far as these people. But they are perverted. And that's what the Bible talks about, even back in the Old Testament.
Yes.
It's talking about perverting judgment.
Yes.
And Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians talks about perverting the gospel of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So they are perverted. You know you're out of your mind because you cannot procreate.
You can't.
So, like I said, we wouldn't even be here. The matter of fact, the same folks, their granddaddies and great-grandpas, the ones who are making all these laws, they wouldn't even be here if God hadn't destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right.
They would have.
And that itself, it is anti-Christ.
Yeah, Christ. Right.
The first thing... One of the first things that God told Adam
mm-hmm.
and Eve was to be fruitful and to multiply.
And not only that, sex is not just for to make babies. That's sex is for pleasure.
Yes.
Also, but with your own wife.
Your own wife.
And your own husband.
Amen. Yeah, say that too.
Yeah. Not these brothels and all this foolishness these people are doing. And I mean, these sex slaves, they're taking folks overseas. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, yeah, it's wicked. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's why God destroyed the earth by water
mm-hmm.
in Noah's days.
That's
because
right.
Man's imagination was only evil continually.
Yes.
Continually. And so it is even now. People are doing all these damnable things. There's all kinds of things that are going on. And so some of these jelly-backed preachers, oh, yeah, I'm not going to speak against, I have no right to speak against them. Well, I got a right as a elder, as an ordained elder of the gospel to believe and agree with God's word.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. It's going against the grain. I'm not agreeing with no pervert, two men getting married. Matter of fact, I go even further. I've married people. I can marry people. And I'm not marrying two men to each other,
amen,
or two women to each other.
Amen.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, as they say. So somebody got to have a backbone. So we bought for less than a penny. Some people, you bought for free.
Yeah.
Don't have no backbone.
Rolling over and,
yeah,
and they're giving
no.
in to this spirit.
Exactly.
This movement.
Exactly. I'm not making no ad with nobody. Oh, yeah, I have no right to speak against them. I'm a good, the writer wrote, in Amos 3:3, he didn't say how He said, can two walk together except they be agreed. I'm agreeing with God.
Yeah.
I believe in God and agree with him. It's God's word is right. Just like I said, those three words, and I believe Luke 17 and 32 says, remember Lot's wife.
Yes.
You do, and in case y'all don't remember what happened, she got burned up.
Mm-hmm.
God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven. And Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
Yes.
That's what happened. Because why? They were trying to get everybody out of there. That whole city was taken over unto lasciviousness.
Mm-hmm.
Or everybody in there had twisted wrists and whatever.
Yes, right.
You know.
Sodomites.
Yes, yes.
Sodomizing. You,
women didn't want men, and the men didn't want the women. The men wanted one another, the women wanted one another.
And she's a good example to show
mm-hmm.
you why not only do you have to listen to God, but you have to believe what God said.
Yeah, he's not playing.
He was in the process of saving that
yeah.
woman, and because of her disbelief, she
mm-hmm.
looked back because he told her, don't look back.
Get out of here.
Get out of
run
here.
For, you know,
escape.
Mm-hmm.
Run
for your life. That's what he said.
She looked back,
mm-hmm.
and he turned her into a foot. See, that shows you how serious God is.
Mm-hmm.
We play with God, and we think God... you know, we say he's full of grace and he's full of mercy, but he has
mm-hmm.
standards. That grace and mercy will apply to certain individuals at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to listen to what God says.
Exactly. So in Genesis 19 and 23, it says, the sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven.
Yes.
And he overthrew those cities. What cities? Sodom and Gomorrah. And all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and all that which grew upon the ground. But his wife, whose wife? Lot, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So, you know, like they say, goodbye, I'm leaving this world behind. So what we're talking about is the way of the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We're talking about the system
yes.
of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that we all should be prehistoric, you know, like the Flintstones,
amen.
You know, with a hole in the bottom of the car, paddling with our feet. No. You know, he's using this world, Apostle Paul says, not abusing it. He
mm-hmm.
says, the fashion of this world passeth away.
Amen, amen.
Time is almost gone.
And that's the thing. We can't get caught up with the world's system. The world comes up with rules and regulations. And if you are a saint, a child of God, and these rules and regulations they're coming up with are against God, then you have to be against these rules and these regulations. And you have to see the power. It baffles me. I saw on the news this morning where in California they're actually trying to, and they're in the process of overturning the votes of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Democracy is almost at the point where it's no longer democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You have... the people voted against same-sex marriage, so obviously all those gays, those homosexuals,
mm-hmm.
and lesbians were the minority.
Mm-hmm.
You have the minority now getting ready to overpower, those that are in numbers,
mm-hmm.
the larger margin of people, amen, if you will. That
mm-hmm.
baffles me, but power behind this movement, you will understand, again, that I believe things are getting ready to wrap up, and it's about time to get ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
Amen. So with that being said, we thank God for his word on today, and thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope that this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.